This podcast is brought to you by lineupmedia.fm.
You're listening to Surreal Talk, a look inside the world of cults, conspiracies, and the paranormal.
Something's not right, man. Something's not right. Something's bullshit here, and I don't believe it.
Honestly, this crazy shit could be completely possible.
Disclaimer, we reserve the right to be wrong, ladies and gentlemen. You think you know the whole story? Think again.
Now your hosts, Eric and Everett.
Welcome to Surreal Talk, a look inside the world of cults, conspiracies, and the paranormal, lineupmedia.fm production, and we are back this week, pretty much just like every week when we're back.
What an intro. We're back, just like last week and the week before that.
Well, that sounded glum. I gave it a little bit more. I'm like, and we're back.
Yeah, that's fair.
You know what I mean?
So, I guess that's the difference between you and me.
Yeah.
You're more woo, I'm more woo.
Yeah, we're just the same way we were last week. So this is going to be a good show this week, I think. I wasn't as hype on this. This is our very first poll option.
Yeah, so let's explain here. I don't know. We talked about it a little last week, I think, that we were going to start sourcing all of our topics out from our Facebook group. So we got a poll running.
Kind of an advantage to being in the group. You get to have your say in the topic that we do every week.
Right. This week's topic, which is E. Howard Hunt, was actually picked out by our nephew.
Yeah.
And he had, 49 people voted on this as the pick.
Well, I thought it was something close. It was 49, 45, but
no, well, there's 44 plus, 4 plus 45 more.
Right, okay.
Anyway, what had happened, somebody had posted a link on the group to an article that a man recounts on his deathbed his involvement in the assassination of JFK. Really clickbaity title. But, anyway, it drew enough interest, and that's
That's what it was supposed to do. I mean, because
everybody, 49 people love it.
Right.
So there's that. That's what we're doing today. But last week we had talked about the Hollow Earth.
We were going to do the Nazi Antarctica. We had another way to spin that show. Nazi Antarctica.
The whole connection with, the Hollow Earth.
Yeah,
and
the aliens and all that.
Pyramids of, it's just nuts.
We were going to do that, but we decided against it.
Yeah, well, for the last several weeks or months, Eric said something a long time ago that I poked fun at him that was slightly racist against Jewish people. And ever since then, I guess every chance I've got, you got a buzz? That's weird. I hear a buzz. I've taken every chance I've got every time he says something slightly off to poke fun at him.
And I think that's why it's became the issue that
right.
It has became today.
We've got
today.
A lot of emails from people that basically are just lighting Eric on fire as an anti-Semite. When it's obvious that his problems he has, the whatever problems or opinions.
It's political, not racial.
Right. I mean,
It's the problems that I have with Israel, it's political. It has nothing to do with a race
of
people.
In my opinion, he's woefully uninformed anyway. Doesn't matter. It's all opinion. What do you mean by it? Do you mean to start another Holocaust? Is that what your problem is? Is that your point of view?
No.
That's my point exactly.
Gosh, no. My kid just went to the Holocaust. No. My wife just took our nephew to the Holocaust Museum, and I wanted to go.
See, that's my point exactly. But we got a really bad review. Well, it wasn't really bad. It was like half good, half bad, mostly shitting on you, asking if you're an anti-Semite.
Yeah, I mean, I'm Mel Gibson, basically.
Yeah, you're kind of Mel Gibson.
That's what they're – that's – I guess the picture that people are painting of me or that I have sounded –
there's been a few editorial cartoons I've seen out on the internet with you with like a swastika.
It's propaganda, though.
It's propaganda. No, but long story short, we're not touching
the subject. I don't hate anybody. I hate everyone equally.
And no. Oh, God damn it.
No.
We're just not going to touch the subject anymore.
No, yeah, I'm not.
I've gotten too many emails.
It's obvious I can't talk about Israel at all.
Or any subject of that. It's not important. One day we might get back around to a more level head with a lot more research where I can rebut you. Right now, I have no knowledge. And you were telling me today, I wish somebody could, say what I'm saying about Israel is
wrong
and give any kind of information. I'm like, yeah,
right.
Because
like, well, and I'm the type of guy. I totally, under new information, can change my views.
Right.
I totally can. And that's what I'm. Maybe that's what I'm asking.
We're dwelling
for.
Too much on this.
You're
Long
right.
story short, We're not doing the Nazi thing for now. We might get back to it someday. Do not, you bastards, put this in the poll on the group every week until
it's
we do.
It's the number one poll every, option,
it's
I bet.
The first 12 yeah. options. That's going to happen now.
Fuck.
Yeah, it'd be funny. So anyway, let's get back to the task at hand. We're talking about E. Howard Hunt, the first, like we said.
Yeah, what's the E stand for?
Okay, that's where it starts to get interesting. Everett Howard Hunt. Spelled, though, differently with an extra E on the end.
Yeah, I don't like that spelling.
So Howard Hunt, born in Hamburg, New York in 1918, early in his life, he has a career in the Navy, served on a destroyer or the USS Mayo. He was in the U.S. Air Force. But where it gets interesting is he eventually comes to serve in the OSS, the Office of Strategic Services.
Which yes.
is a precursor to the CIA, but what?
Well, kind of a precursor to the CIA. It is a precursor to the CIA, but it's so when the OSS was disbanded, the Office of Strategic Services, its responsibilities were given out, split up actually between like the Department of the State, the Department of War, a couple other different departments. But they were. They basically all just took over everything that the OSS did. And then the OSS, what was it, 1947, I believe, they disbanded the CIG. Man, I just had that, too. It's in here. Hang on.
Long story short.
Well, okay, so what it ended up being was the CIA eventually was the 1947, fuck, I can't remember what it was. I just had it. We just fucking
help.
Looked
you,
at it.
You
do
OSS,
have to, you do have to help me. Hang on. I have it right here.
Like we said, we're a little off today, folks. We decided to change the topic at a late time.
Yes.
I swear to God, though, we got a lot of info on this topic. So,
and we did change it pretty late.
The guy was involved in some shit, but we'll get to it. OSS, precursor CIA, where are you at? Boom. You found the CIA.
Yeah, so it was based on the MI6 is what they were trying to do. And it was...
Woodrow Wilson, were you telling me?
Yeah.
Or Harry Truman?
No, it was Truman, I'm sorry.
Gotta get your dates right. After World War II, it was Truman.
Man, I'm trying to find out right where I was. I should have just wrote that down. Anyways, so what they did pretty much, it was the CIA precursor, the OSS, and this guy, E. Howard Hunt, worked for them, and it was all before it became the CIA.
It seemed like, though, most of his stuff at that time was in China. That's what my notes say. He worked as an agent in China. What a place to go to be an agent, especially in that time.
You reckon China was much different back then?
Well, think about this. The Far East, remember Nixon was the first guy to go to China in forever? They were communist.
They still communist?
Yeah.
Yeah. Communist China. Imagine that.
Red China. No.
Yeah.
He joined the CIA in 49 as a political action specialist in what came to be called their special activities division. So whatever special activities means, that's pretty much behind the scenes spook to stir some shit. Eventually he goes to actually work for the CIA in Mexico and start the CIA division in Mexico City. The first guy to bring that up. So, let's see, shortly after CIA work in Mexico, he starts working on something called Operation PB Success. Are you familiar with that at all?
Yeah, a little bit. I found what I was looking for now.
Oh, well, go ahead.
Okay, so in 1945, Truman signed Executive Order 9621, terminating the OSS. His order became effective October 1st, 1945, and the days following the functions of the OSS were split between the Department of State and the Department of War. The State Department received the Research and Analysis branch of the OSS, originally created by Edward Meade, and was renamed the Interim Research and Intelligence Service, or the IRIS. IRIS. That's weird.
Like some fucking James Bond stuff there.
Right. Headed by U.S. Army Colonel Alfred McCormick. Later, it was renamed the Bureau of Intelligence and Research by the State Department. The War Department took over the secret intelligence and the counter-espionage branches, which were housed in the new unit created for this purpose. The Strategic Services Unit, the SSU, the Secretary of War appointed Brigadier General John Magruder, formerly Donovan's Deputy Director for Intelligence in the OSS, as the new SSU Director. He oversaw the liquidation of the OSS, yet more importantly, he managed the institutional preservation of its clandestine intelligence capability. So here's where it gets good. In 1946, President Truman created the Central Intelligence Group, the CIG. That's what I was trying to talk. So that's the in-between of the CIA and the OSS. That's the agency in between. They call the OSS the direct precursor of the CIA, but it's not direct. So there was an agency in between that kind of filled the gap in between the CIA and the OSS, which was the CIG.
Okay, that's what you were telling me about earlier.
Yeah. So here we go. In mid-1946, it reconstituted the Office of Spatial Operations. Okay, but here we go. The National Security Act of 47 established the United States' first permanent peacetime intelligence agency, the CIA, the Central Intelligence Agency, which then took up the OSS functions.
So it took everything back. So basically, any intelligence you had was only necessary if you were at war. And the U.S. was like, you know what, let's do what Britain has done and just have a spy agency at all times.
Yeah, the peacetime. Exactly. So they can spy at any time, not just on wartime.
Right. Let's be prepared to do that anyway.
Yeah. So all of the responsibilities of the OSS, the Office of Strategic Services, was kind of like pushed around for about 5 or 10 years in between a couple different, you know, offices, I guess you'd say, a couple right. different departments. And then it finally nailed it down when they started the CIA in 46. And they brought all of those responsibilities back from the Department of State and the Department of War back into the CIA. So this guy working for the OSS, he worked for the CIA as well, but that's how deep his roots are in espionage. He was in the very first, the precursor of the CIA.
Right, the modern intelligence networks, the modern spooks, so to speak, those who would carry out the... all the black ops, so to speak.
I mean, if you ask me, this guy was doing spy shit before spy shit was like spy shit. You know what I mean? He was the precursor to the CIA.
Right.
So, I mean, he was spying when spying wasn't even cool.
Right on. So, like I said before, he went down to Mexico after that. He starts the Mexican office. While he's in Mexico, he starts to helps devise Operation PB Success. Now, there's shit tons of people in it, but he was instrumental in the planning and the eventual carry out of this plan. So what it was a plan to overthrow, and I'm going to butcher his name, Jacobo, what do you think?
You got me, Jacobo.
Arbenz. He was the elected, democratically elected president of Guatemala. So they wanted to get him out. For whatever reason, I'm reading that they thought they had communist fears, right? After the start of the Cold War, after World War II, for whatever reason, they had ties with Russia or whatever. So they didn't trust it. They want to move in. Let's see here. So they send down 480 men to begin an invasion to take this guy out. But what was great about it, and where E. Howard Hunt was involved, they do a psychological warfare type of thing at the same time to fuck with the president to get him to give up power. So they start a campaign of fake radio and, you know, fake
just
fake
all types of propaganda to make their army seem bigger than it was.
Right,
seem like
invasion,
it was more. It was
like the invasion was
guys.
Working. Like there's plane. Whenever he's like the president's listening to the recordings, it sounds like there's planes flying by. There's explosions going.
Well,
on.
Well, there was. It was actually coupled with an actual bombing campaign.
Well, fair
enough. They did some bombing, but it wasn't.
But you've got Hunt back in a safe house somewhere, man in the CB radio, so to speak.
Right. They made a movie. They made it look a lot worse than it was. They dropped a few bombs. They put a few people here, a few people there, and they made it look like they were actually invading this country.
So eventually the president says, all right, I'm done, gives up. He did try to arm some civilians to resist the invasion, but eventually he
how well that? That never works.
Yeah. He resigns on June 27th of that year. 10 days later, Castillo Armas, this guy is handpicked by the CIA to lead the invasion for many different reasons. The one guy they would have chosen, they found out had cancer and he only had a few years left. Other people had slight political problems. This is the guy that they decide is our best bet. But, 10 days later, he basically installs himself as president. Let me find a part in my notes where this gets interesting.
This is Guatemala, yeah?
This is Guatemala. Yes, this is Guatemala. Hold on here. I had some real good stuff about this, too.
I bet you did.
When I was looking through my notes, I turned them all around.
Man, I just don't like this guy.
Okay. No. Armas?
Yeah.
Yeah, well, no. He turns out to be a dictator. Long story short, he starts squashing all of his political adversaries by force, and it leads to basically 40 years of civil war in that country, where over 200,000 Guatemalans ultimately lose their life. Because we wanted to go in. And
because
out.
We installed a puppet dictator.
Basically.
Hmm.
40 years of civil war, 200,000 people. I know I got that in my notes somewhere here, but I guess it doesn't matter. I remember it.
And what was our reason for that? Why didn't we like who was in there?
Communist fears, quote unquote. That's what, long story short, communist fears.
That just makes America look like assholes.
Well, it's the same thing. That's their reason for going into all kinds of places, from Vietnam to problems with Cuba, like Bay of Pigs, which eventually we'll talk about here in just a minute. E. Howard Hunt was also involved in the planning of the Bay of Pigs. They used and what made him so confident they could do Bay of Pigs actually was how well this plan worked to overthrow the guy in Guatemala. they were using the same people, you know, at the top in the CIA to plan this out, and the same type of strategies more or less to get this thing going. Though it totally, as we know, talked about in our JFK episode, the Bay of Pigs was basically a complete failure and slaughter on the beach of all those people they sent. That wasn't the last that, you know, the CIA had heard of the Bay of Pigs people. They started, they did Operation 40. E. Howard Hunt started something called Operation 40, which was...
It's a hit squad, pretty much, right?
An assassination team that basically the CIA would send all over the world, like, you know, Iran, like the Contra situation. I believe they were involved with that.
So what they did, they, like, bomb makers, you know, just guerrilla warfare?
Oh, anything from flying planes to sniper school to just basically BAMF school.
And these were all Cubans or just some of them?
You know, it's real hard. From what I see, it's made up of people who were involved with Bay of Pigs.
Okay.
So past that, I don't know.
Right.
But, again, it's another thing this guy went on to do. He's creating hit squads, of all things.
Go over and, hey, man, I mean, you got shit that you need to get done in the world. You got to have a fucking hit squad, I guess.
Sure does. So... After the Bay of Pigs, he goes to work, I believe, in Japan for a while, and ends up eventually coming to work for Nixon. He had met Nixon, I believe, in 1951 when he was working down in Uruguay. Not Nixon was working in Uruguay. Hunt was working in Uruguay. Nixon was the vice president at the time under Dwight Eisenhower. So what had happened, they both happened to be in the same restaurant. And they had sat down and had about an hour and a half conversation. Fast forward so many years later, whenever Nixon's starting to put together an outfit of people, who does he think of for the job with this guy he talked about many years earlier down in Uruguay? He says, you know, Hunt's the guy for the job. He's the guy that we can do this. So.
And the guy's got the credentials.
Well, right. He's been involved in all kinds of stuff. Like, you know, you're in Bay of Pigs. That fucked his CIA career up, though.
The Bay of Pigs did?
Yeah.
I'm not saying that, but I'm saying that he's been involved with clandestine agencies since World War II, the early 40s.
Right.
You know what I mean? He's been doing... I don't want to say shady shit, but
shady shit.
You know,
behind closed doors,
right? Yeah, I mean, he's doing some shit, man.
Hmm. You interrupted me, and now I don't know where I was. I was talking about Nixon, but then I went back to Bay of Pigs. Fucked his CIA career up. It derailed him. Like, and that's why they had sent him all over the world instead of being involved with, you know, invasion attempts. The cool stuff the CIA does.
Yeah.
Now he's on the outside, and he's basically done with the CIA at that point. He's out as a professional spook. So, like I said, many years later. When Nixon's putting together his own private intelligence community, who does he think of besides Hunt? Eventually, he comes to co-head more or less with G. Gordon Liddy, Nixon's plumber's unit. So I'm sure a lot of people have heard of the Pentagon Papers. I know you hadn't heard of this.
I had not. But
you'd heard the words, but you didn't
know
what it was.
You're right. I'd heard it, but I never knew what it was.
Let me get my list out here for what my Pentagon Papers. Ah, fuck it, I'll freehand it. The Pentagon Papers was a list of studies throughout the government that had... basically shown what they thought of the war. Hold on. I got a better thing written down here. It really outlined the decision-making process. At the end of the day, it states basically that the government doesn't believe they can win the war in Vietnam. And it starts a whole political shitstorm.
So that's what the Pentagon Papers were. They were just basically, right. The gist of it is saying like, hey,
they weren't supposed to be let out. They were classified.
Well, right. So they were leaked
by a man named Daniel Ellsberg, and they didn't know that at the time. That's what the plumbers were hired to do: is find out who's leaking all this shit to the press. So, G. Gordon Liddy and E. Howard Hunt, like I said, were the plumbers, and that was their job to find it out. And after they found out it was Ellsberg, Nixon tasks Hunt with dig up the dirt. You know, he's that kind of guy now. Find out what this guy's sexual deviancies are.
Yeah, his credit scores, his family secrets, everything, that any dirt you can dig up on this guy, that's what Nixon wanted done.
Right.
You know, because he...
Nixon's a son of a bitch. As you'll get to hear about in Watergate, which is the next thing they do, whenever he's on this big information-finding thing, who's against him, who's with him, what the strategies of the opposition are, he eventually comes up with a plan, or one of them does. It's not clear exactly who does it, but... let's go over to the Watergate, to the DNC, the Democratic National Convention offices, bust in. Let's put a bug in there.
Now, this is the biggest part of this guy's story. Biggest part of E. Howard Hunt's, what we'll be talking about,
his
was Watergate.
Professional, crazy spy life.
The reason this got a show is not Watergate. So that's the biggest part's the JFK cover-up. But this is, like, to me, was one of the bigger parts.
I agree, too. This is, to me, the more important historically thing he was.
I agree. I think there was more complicit in this Watergate than he was in the JFK, for sure. There's more evidence.
Right. The first night they go to Watergate, and he's got some of his guys used in the Bay of Pigs, some of these Cuban guys up.
Yeah, these are like his personal, I guess, fucking dudes. You know, these are his dudes.
Who does he know?
Exactly.
He's not in the CIA anymore. He's got contacts. You know what I mean? Yeah. All these ex-CIA guys got contacts.
Right.
So he gets a hold of a couple of these guys, and the first night they go up there, they fucked up. The guy who was their lockpick of the group didn't bring the right lockpick tool, so they had to bug out and go away. The first night Hunt was there, supposedly.
As a lockpicker, you fucking fail miserably if you don't bring the right lockpicking tools.
Especially in the 70s. What kind of locks do you got? Kick the fucking door in. Fuck it.
Locks nowadays like are not super hard to pick.
Then they kind of tell like somebody was in here. They probably would have been like looking for bugs and stuff.
Right, yeah.
But the next night they go, he sends the guys over.
Same ones, right?
Same ones. Except he's across the street now with like a pair of binoculars or something. And
he's at the building across the street watching them, trying to see if he can see what's going on.
So these guys break in. They make a fatal flaw, though. The door they came in, they taped the lock. So
when it closed, it wouldn't lock so they could get back out.
So they can get back out. But what had happened was a security guy, you know, running around doing his rounds, finds this door taped and obviously fucked with, calls the police. The police catch these guys red-handed. So they start shuffling through the pockets, find out what's going on. One of these guys has the phone number of E. Howard Hunt on him in his pocket.
Not only his phone number, though.
It's his office at the White House.
It's his office at the White House with his name there right next to it.
Directly linking the Watergate people to Nixon's administration.
Exactly.
So that was a bad deal. At the end of the day, the four burglars, G. Gordon Liddy and E. Howard Hunt, were all implicated. Howard Hunt ends up doing 33 months. Or something like that in it.
Oh, man, what was the quote? His quote was like almost saddening about this.
And I'll paraphrase the one was...
It almost makes you sad.
I don't understand why I'm being persecuted by a government that sought me out, trained me to do this type of stuff.
And instructed me to do this.
To do this type of stuff. And then now after the fact,
I'm being punished for it. Yeah, like, oh, fuck, man, that sucks because... So, they trained him, instructed him how to do it, and then told him, hey, this is what we want you to do.
You kind of feel sorry for him, and then you remember this is a guy who was an assassin.
He's probably really not a good guy.
Well, he's your spy back then. They turned off that switch that says, I probably shouldn't do this.
Yeah, right. So what? One thing, it wasn't Forrest Gump that blew the lid off of Watergate. You know, he wasn't staring across, them guys got flashlights, must be a light out. You know, it was originally... Forrest Gump was the one that blew the lid on Watergate.
Unless Forrest Gump was working security that night. No, it wasn't him.
No, it was not Forrest Gump.
Unless that security guard was sent over there because of Forrest Gump's call. Dun, dun, dun.
Oh, that's why he called.
That's funny.
Crazy.
So after the hammer comes down for Watergate, apparently Hunt knows way too much, and Nixon gets scared. Hunt actually starts to blackmail Nixon because they need money. They need money for lawyers' fees for what had happened. All those guys that got arrested, the burglars.
So at this time, is Nixon president?
Nixon's still president.
Okay, so this dude has got balls because he's actually going to blackmail the fucking president
of
the United
States. Not only that, whenever the Watergate tapes come out, which is what eventually leads to Nixon's resignation, they paid. And in the movie Nixon, came out in 1995, you can find it on IMDb, he was played by, E. Howard Hunt was played by Ed Harris, love that actor.
Oh, yeah, Ed
Harris
is good.
He's in Westworld, he's in a lot of movies. There was a time when, and I'm going to again paraphrase this quote from the movie. What makes you have the audacity to think that you can blackmail the president of the United States? And he says, that's not the question you should be asking. You should be asking, why is he willing to pay me?
Why is he paying? Yeah.
Why is he paying me?
So, but think about that. As the president, Nixon, do you pay this guy and actually leave a trail like saying I'm guilty because I'm paying for this blackmail, or do you just off him? I mean, why didn't that come to Nixon's head? Let's just off this fucking guy.
It did. So they start paying him.
Like, just off him.
We talked about this earlier, and I'm sure you remember this as soon as I say it. His wife.
Yeah.
Dorothy and the son, St. John, he wrote a book about this called Dorothy, but the dude's wife, and they had a tumultuous relationship because the guy was a swinger and he thought himself a swinger.
E. Howard Hunt was?
Yeah, and he would go out and have multiple affairs. Not relevant to what
we're not going to hold that against him.
Right, you do that all the time.
No, I'm
just
do
kidding,
not.
Brittany. I'm just kidding. Just kidding. He doesn't do that.
Right, you're trying to get me divorced.
Sorry about that. But his wife, whenever they started blackmailing and they needed somebody to take the money somewhere, she would go out and distribute the funds. Well, she goes on a standard air flight. What do they call it? Commercial airplane?
Yeah, just a regular plane.
And it blows up like 100 feet off the ground. 48 people die, including her.
So let me get this straight. So... E. Howard Hunt was blackmailing the president of the United States.
The administration, blah,
the administration,
blah, blah, blah.
Whatever. For, so he's,
for
he's
at least
getting
Watergate
money.
And probably way more, because he was the guy that Nixon handpicked him during actually the Eisenhower administration. Oh, I should have said this, but like I said, I'm way off my game today. To lead all the efforts to assassinate Castro in the 50s.
Okay.
So he basically couldn't have this guy coming out saying, Nixon was the one that said, kill Castro. Go ahead this time, go ahead this time, go ahead this time. On all the failed attempts, it was Nixon, the guy saying, yeah, pull the trigger, try to take him out.
Okay, so this guy's blackmailing the administration, or at the very least Richard Nixon, as president of the United States. And so what he's doing is he's taking this money from them, giving it to his wife to distribute among his contacts or the people that he has been...
The burglars.
Yeah, well, his peeps, man. This is at this point, he's almost running a fucking his own little crew, like a Sopranos crew. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
At this point, that's what he's doing. So he's taking... He's got his old lady passing the money out. Hey, you know, you did this job for me. Boom, 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 boom. The money's getting off blackmailing. And then they fucking kill her.
Well, that's... See, we can't prove that.
Right, okay, so... Allegedly, they can.
St. John the Sun believes that they did it.
Guy's a real piece of work, in my opinion.
Well, think about the message they're sending at that point. We're not going to kill you. First,
we'll kill your family.
Wife.
Yeah,
it could have killed the son. So, and another interesting thing about the son, St. John, during the Watergate thing, as E. Howard is trying to get rid of some of the evidence, he taps his son to go out, and you remember they wiped down some surfaces.
Yeah, well, they wiped out a bunch of spy equipment is what it said. So I can understand. I would imagine that's...
You know, throw some evidence in the river type shit.
Yeah, use your imagination, man. He helped him fucking
clean
up.
There's a really good interview with him I saw online, way better than the information we're giving you. Way better. It was about an hour long, and he talks about his time with his dad. I suggest
it was him. It was a hard watch, though, to be honest with you.
How so?
I guess really no. If you watch Surreal Talk, it's probably not that hard of a watch.
You didn't like seeing the side by side.
It really wasn't for me.
The man in the box, head in the box.
I didn't like how the. You know what? I'm
going
to skip that part. Anyways, yeah. So if you like Surreal Talk, I didn't like how the.
Don't skip it. Bring it back.
I didn't like how they were talking over each other. We do that. So that's why it's kind of like, yeah, I'm going to skip that part, right?
Yeah.
But I didn't like how it was. It's what it is it's a side by side interview. There's actually a guy interviewing the son, and it's not a bad interview.
Like this.
Yeah, it's like that. Yeah.
It's all frozen on our end, man, our preview. We have our preview of what we're seeing, what's going out to YouTube on the big screens in the studio, and it's way fucked up, so it's hard to keep up with.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so they killed his wife, and basically after that he retires. 30 years he spends in Florida until
new wife, couple new kids. Right.
Hang on.
This says right here, the CIA knew to understand it correctly, the CIA knew that the Watergate break-in was going to happen?
Oh, that's right.
How?
So.
And why?
So apparently he wasn't completely at that point done with the CIA. He wasn't an official CIA, but he had contacts there, and he was still kind of reporting activities. So he was like a double agent, you know what I mean?
He's a source for them, basically. He's not directly employed for them, but they can call on him for
info. That's how the CIA works. They know everything, and why bother stopping it? Because after the fact, now you've really got the dirt.
Yeah,
you haven't did nothing yet.
Now you can blackmail this guy.
That's right. You haven't did it yet. I got nothing on you. So that was quite interesting. Where else we got here?
I would say we're almost to the Kennedy aspect of it.
Yeah, we pretty much are. Like we were getting to the end of his life down in Florida, which is where his son again comes into the picture and starts to ask questions about Kennedy. What do you know about Kennedy? Because throughout his life, a couple times he had been brought before Congress or other investigations.
He denied every time. No comment.
Under oath twice he had said, you know, he knew nothing about it. I wasn't involved. But at the end of days, he comes to it and says, yeah, I was involved. And he starts naming
top brass. Well, he calls his son in there and he's a piece of paper.
Well, yeah, there's a 20-minute recording that exists out there. Only pieces of it that I were able to find are actually out there on the internet, like a 4-minute section here or there. Real good stuff, though.
Yeah.
The guy really sounds legit in what he's talking about.
Okay, so me and Everett are on different sides of the spectrum.
I'm not talking about the son.
In the
recording of the guy. He sounds
right.
like
totally
he
does sound
believes what he's saying. Now, Eric has a little issue with the way the son's doing.
I'm not with the son. Okay, and...
You think you're just a cash grab.
Exactly. I feel like the son's on a cash grab.
I don't hold it against him.
After 20 years of meth abuse.
Again, why are you going to hold drug abuse against him?
I'm not. I'm just saying that this guy comes across to me as the type of guy that's going to do anything he can, write books. There's like 900 different interviews with this son on YouTube. That's saying his agenda for his week.
I think you're judging way too early on this.
I could be, but think about it. So this guy's trying to make money. His agenda for the week is go to this interview, this interview, this interview, this interview.
That's not what he does. You're talking, his dad died in like 2003.
Uh-huh.
all these interviews he's done. Sure, he's written a few books about his, you know, one called Dorothy about his mom and the shit that surrounded that. He's written books about his experiences, what his dad told him.
Yeah,
but it's not like he's made millions of dollars off these books. Sure, he makes money from it, but from what I understand, he's a guitar player, does blues, you know, does a lot of Eric Clapton type shit.
Does he make more money off of his guitar playing or off of his?
He doesn't got money, dude. He's not like he's got money.
Exactly.
So yeah, he makes money playing like open mic.
So these $200-$300 that an interview could offer him
is good money.
It could be an issue. That'd be, oh man, I might need that. You know what I mean?
Yeah, but he's clean these days. You're gonna hold it against the guy.
I didn't say that.
Using what he's got, he's written books. Why not support these books?
I haven't read them.
I know you haven't read them. That's why he goes on these shows and has a chance to. It's not like he's getting paid to go on these shows. You're saying $200-$300 to go on a show. Do we pay people to come on our show? Would we ever pay?
We don't have no money.
Even if we did, would we ever pay a person to come on our show?
Well, fuck no.
So I don't think he's getting paid to come on shows.
You don't feel like you don't get that cash grab from him at all. Like he's just doing this for whether it be publicity or maybe his 15 minutes of fame, something.
So.
I feel like he's using what his dad was involved in order to
a little
advance himself in life.
So what? I don't know why you hold that against him. For some reason, it just rubs you wrong.
I just skate on your own accomplishments, man.
Yeah, I don't know. I think you got the guy wrong.
I could totally have him wrong, but that's how I came. So that's how he came off to me.
You're coming at me saying you've seen like 900.
Not coming
interviews.
At you at all.
Well, you're coming at the discussion here we're having. We're having a discussion. I don't know that you watched enough interviews with the guy to get a feeling for how he is. To me, he seems like a genuine guy.
Yeah, I just didn't get that. I mean, we have two different opinions on this guy.
What was a little weird about him is he almost seemed proud of his dad as a guy who had murdered people and taught people how to murder.
That's what we talked about. I didn't feel like he was happy about all the wrong things. This guy's a criminal, okay?
But you're looking at it wrong. This was his dad. He's way too close to the situation to look at it like me and you from the outside. What he knows is his dad was like a super spy and gone out.
So this guy's got the same respect for his dad as, say, a mobster's son would have.
Right.
Okay. Oh, you know, he does do fucked up shit, but man, the glamour of that life is just so cool.
It may be a little misguided, but it's
misguided.
His dad. You know what I mean?
It is his dad. You're right. But misguided, I would think, because, you know, how could you keep an idol over the guy that kills a bunch of people, you know, or whatever? Shady dealings.
Well,
I mean, your dad was involved in Watergate.
From what I understand, many years he was resentful. He's still, you know, he said he still loves his dad.
Oh, did he have him a good period where he was like, I hate my dad?
He went through 20 years of drug abuse. You don't do that generally if you had a great growing up. You know what I mean? Your dad was around all the time. Think about it.
That's objection. Speculation.
No, pretty much the way it works a lot of the time.
So if your dad was around, you don't do drugs?
No, that's not my point. I'm saying it's a prevalence. Whenever you have a tough childhood, which generally a single parent childhood with not a lot of money. Well, they had money, but and he wasn't even a single parent. What are we getting into here? This isn't even relevant. My point is they moved around a lot. His dad was out doing missions all the time. Might as well have been single. Because the mom's the only one around, because she was in the spy game, too.
Yeah, she totally had her own deals going on. I mean, that's probably why her dad trusted her with all that money to go pay off other spies.
Right, you know? She eventually had to quit the spy game because there were rules against two agents from the same office or something like that working together. So she gives it up officially and apparently still does shit unofficially.
Like we said, we had mentioned before the show, Mr. and Mrs. Smith. You can't have two agents working for clandestine agencies being together at... It gets messy. Could she be sharing secrets? There's all kinds of different shit that could happen, and I'm sure the government and those agencies are just not into two people that are of that importance being, a husband and wife.
Think about this. You train people to kill each other and get away with it, and then, you know, your husband and wife team, he starts thinking the other person's going to kill you. I don't know. I doubt that's what they were thinking, but to
fuck,
me,
you never know, though, man. I mean,
yeah.
I watched Mr. and Mrs. Smith.
All right, well, that's all I got. I want to spend time on this guy today. Let's talk about, the voting thing we're going to do.
Wait.
What?
The CIA cover, or the cover-up of the...
Oh, fucking kidding.
Come
God
on, man. What are you doing?
Yeah, psych. There's not a lot to it.
Some people's
kids. Like I
said,
it was a clickbait article.
It was a clickbait. Hey, so totally was a clickbait article. Let's get that out of there beforehand. That was a clickbait article.
He does implicate LBJ in it at the top, basically saying he's the guy behind it. It has everything to do with Bay of Pigs. What was Kennedy's quote about? He was going to shatter the CIA.
He said, I will shatter the CIA into 1,000 pieces and scatter them into the wind.
That apparently pissed off the CIA.
I imagine, yeah. And I've heard from a lot of different places, YouTube videos, that was a big reason as to, you know, why they wanted to take him out, man, was because he was going to just totally disrupt that agency and everything that they were doing. He just didn't like it.
That always scares me when you think about an agency that's paid to kill people and that's what they do and it's okay. Where do they draw the line? When they learn to stop recognizing where to draw the line?
No, when you're an agency that can actually kill the president, you're on top.
Yeah.
At
that point, they've forgotten where the line is.
Exactly.
So...
And something that surprised me about this, because now we did a 3-part Kennedy show.
Right, it was a good
show. And we had a bunch of different theories out there,
Better
Secret Service. Something that when we were doing this, I didn't really... This paints LBJ as a big... he was complicit in the Kennedy murder. He at least knew about it. He hated Kennedy. All this research painted him in such like... He revolted toward... He just did not like John F. Kennedy.
Well, yeah, Well, the deal was the Bay of Pigs thing fucked his career. We've talked about that before. You do 9 years in purgatory of the CIA, more or less, before Kennedy or Nixon picks you up and puts you back in the prime time again. Well, at that time, he didn't do it.
So LBJ was for the Bay of Pigs.
That has nothing to do with it. LBJ was this or that. LBJ was a bulldog. He wanted to be president.
Right.
There was all kinds of motive to get rid of JFK. And it just so happened that all these people had different motives but could work together to get rid of them.
Yeah.
That's how that comes down.
Assholes.
According, basically, to the story that E. Howard Hunt paints. But his part in it was really small. There's some people that think he was actually, whenever we talked about it in the JFK episode, there were 3 hobos or transients or tramps, whatever you want to call them, arrested that day. Some people think he was one of them.
I know the two people that got arrested on, like, the first... floor of the actual observatory that Lee Harvey Oswald was
the museum, right?
Shot from. No, it was a book depository.
Or a book depository, yeah.
Yeah, so there were people arrested that same day, like an hour later, on the first floor of that building.
Well, and there was also some...
Those were supposed to be Italian mafia, is what they were.
So. Right, and another thing that E. Howard Hunt said about that was there actually was a shooter on the grassy knoll. He was a French fellow. I got his name right.
Lucien Sarti.
Lucien Sarti. The guy was a drug runner, though.
Lucien, maybe.
And he was a mafia guy, too. So how that works, and I guess that was a Dallas Mafia connection. Just another little thing he would know.
When you're looking for people to take out the president, I'm sure the mob's in on that,
well,
too.
The fact that he's able to drop that name at that point where the guy was said to have been in Dallas on that day, like whenever you look it up, the guy was supposed to have been there. He's able to say this on his deathbed. He's bringing his name up as a second shooter.
Right.
It just gives a little more credence to his, you know, that, yeah, I did know something about it.
Man, reading stories like this about things that happened like that, like the Kennedy assassination, and then you're reading a guy that was there that day, and then we're 50 years, 60 years later or something
after that?
And he's recalling names, you know, the grassy knoll shooter. He's saying that he was a mobster. Now, any of the research that I've done shown that they arrested mobsters that very day, you know what I mean? There was a shooter on the grassy knoll. Everyone's heard that. So a guy comes out and starts saying this shit that was actually involved, you know what I mean? He was... in the government, in the CIA, he was directly almost involved in this shit. It does kind of put a little credence to what he's saying, you know?
Right.
It gives him a little bit of validation.
Some people
validation.
Argue, too, like, there's word on the internet that the part of the reconciliation took place because St. John was looking for, he actually got a hold of his dad, curious about the Kennedy stuff.
Right.
But I pretty much squashed that shit whenever it was E. Howard Hunt himself who recorded these tapes and gave them to his son. The son didn't say, Dad, record these tapes of whatever so I can go out and make money for it after the fact. This was a guy, I'm dying. Here's what's on my mind.
Well, he had his son bring him pad and paper. He was going to write this shit down.
Last little thing, yeah. He tried to diagram out a woeful representation.
This guy even had, E. Howard Hunt even had like a fucking chain of command as far as the thing goes for, you know, he had it broke down, structured and all that.
How do you mean? For what?
For like... Who was responsible?
Oh, okay, I got you.
You know what
I
mean?
In the Kennedy thing?
Yes,
right.
Yes.
LBJ was at the very top.
Yeah,
he
had it all structured out into who was responsible, and there was another guy, him, and then it had the two mobsters below that guy. I mean, this guy, I mean, he had a pretty good story, you know?
Yeah.
If in fact it was true, we don't know, but either way, the guy tells a good story.
Oh, another little fact. We said he wrote some books earlier. He's written like 7 or 8 or 9 books. They're all kind of...
Now, the son or E. Howard Hunt has?
E. Howard Hunt has.
Okay.
Well, even the son has too, but E. Howard Hunt had actually written fictional books, or semi-fictional, so to speak. They were semi-autobiographical as well, where he'd take experiences from his life, fictionalize them partially, and publish a novel under it. So you can find those all on Amazon, and if you do, go to our website, click on the Amazon banner. Had to work that in there somewhere. What else you got today? Anything on anything else more on E. Howard Hunt?
Nothing on E. Howard Hunt, man. I feel like this wasn't it wasn't a real strong subject because it was based off of a clickbait article. There's not a lot to this.
Yeah, though it's kind of interesting to know. This is one of those guys. Wow, I'm off camera again. That was just involved in the shit. That shows you again. There's way more going on than anybody's admitting to. People want to keep their power and they'll kill to do it.
Well, like when you think of the government, you think, you know, the president and the vice president and the House and the members of Congress and the speaker, right, all that shit. Well, there's people like this dude that are directly involved in every fucking thing. They've got their hands in all these different pies and they're making decisions and they're actually changing the way things go. You know what I mean?
It's just like when you see in TV shows, like Orange is the New Black. You ever watch that?
Yeah.
You should. It's really good. It's on Netflix.
It's a prison TV show, right? About women in prison?
Not Orange is the New Black. The one with Kevin Spacey, the one where he's president. House of Cards.
Oh.
Fuck Orange is the New Black. Oh, my God. That's a horrible show.
I'm like, yeah, no, I don't really want to watch that.
I watched the first couple seasons. I can't get into it anymore. House of Cards is Kevin Spacey. He starts out as a senator, does whatever he can do to become president. Spoiler alert, eventually does. He's got a guy on his staff, Doug something or other.
Who'll long distance phone call, Doug. That Doug?
No. Not that Doug. I don't know. It's basically the same thing. People who will do anything at the president's behest. I think the Frank Underwood, which is Kevin Spacey's character, pretty much is an analog for Nixon.
Think so.
You can kind of play it that way. Dirty as shitty. He murdered this girl who knew too much, pushed her right into an oncoming subway train.
Okay, so let's get that out there. Nixon was a dirty, crooked bastard. You know what I mean? Who else is going to come out and say, I am not a crook? Obviously, people think you're a fucking crook if you got to defend the fact that you're not a crook.
Right. He came out defending and says, I'm not a crook. I've earned everything I got. Well, why after a month after you resigned did, you know, Gerald Ford pardon you? What did he have to pardon you for?
Exactly.
He knew exactly what was going on.
Yeah.
We talked about those Watergate tapes that basically outline. So Nixon, the son of a bitch, had bugged the entire White House. Everything that's going on, he keeps it recorded.
Yeah.
Well, that went against him whenever they found out. You know, I'm all over the place. I'm excited about it. But it comes out that he's been recording shit.
Yeah.
The government wants a copy
they
of all
want
these
those tapes.
And he's like, no, it's been president's privilege to have, you know, conversations that nobody else gets to hear, which I got to wonder if you're wanting to have these conversations. But eventually, I guess they get a hold of the tapes where they're talking about Watergate, and it shows that not only does Nixon's administration know about it, more or less Nixon knows about it.
They ordered it almost, didn't they?
Yeah. Well, it's his paranoia and whatnot. So he resigns. God, we should do a Watergate show. That's interesting. If you guys like this
Watergate
show,
would be a good show.
Back to the voting, though, on the group. I think in the future, whenever we get a thing like this, because I think the winning vote was for guy who killed Kennedy on his deathbed or something. You know,
guy confesses horrible to Kennedy assassination on his deathbed, which is really not at all what happened.
Yeah. So we're going to have to, like, this we would have been better off served to combine it with some other spy shit, probably.
Yeah.
But on the late
we reserve the right to change the topic name.
Not just that, combined topics.
Combined topics. We're going to continue to do the poll, and we'll stay with the number one poll.
Right. As the first time this is happening, it's not ideal. I kind of enjoy the information we've learned. But going forward, we're gonna mold what wins.
Yeah, because we just didn't get enough content out of this one.
And, you know, for future efforts, we might have to take number two.
It's just, I take number two, two, three times a day.
I know you do. You show me and send me pictures.
No, I don't.
Yeah, anyway. So, that's it.
Yeah, I would think so.
Thanks for, what a horrible show today.
Yeah, it wasn't bad. It's a rough subject, man. Not a lot to it. I'm looking
for the whole Nazi thing. We nixed the Nazi thing because of that.
We had some research for the Nazi thing. Not a lot. Don't get me wrong. We weren't a fucking full show prepped for that yet. But
after
at the same time,
we had stuff left over.
After that guy just ate me apart on that review, I told him.
He's changed it, and I thank you for changing that. I talked to him through email.
We mutually decided that maybe the Nazi show wasn't the best idea for this week.
So short notice, this is what you get. And combine that with the fact that it's not something we had from our document. It's something.
Hey, Jesse Theodore makes a great, great, great suggestion. Why don't we pick a few topics and let them choose? Why don't we put the poll up and no ad options to it?
We could do that.
Two or three topics and y'all pick what you want us to do. That way it would be.
All right, how about this? Then I'll pick from what the last poll was.
Scientology.
I will pick.
Watergate.
Would you calm down?
Okay.
I will pick some topics that were on top of the last poll and I'll make a poll where you can't add options.
Where you can't add options.
All right, we'll do it from there. All right. This is going to be an evolving process, and it's probably going to shit the bed like today.
Yes, it will. How about a show on something non-government related? This has become a theme. You know what? That's a great point. We do do a lot
Hollow
of
Earth, wasn't?
Ooh, snap. Great. Good point. Hollow Earth
Scott
government.
Scott Singer's shitting us on the chat there.
Yeah, that's that Hollow Earth wasn't government related. Mm-hmm.
But yeah, well, you know, it's not really up to us.
It's up to the listener.
It's up to the group. So
it's up to the group. Yeah. So hey,
do some government. Don't let them win.
If you're listening on the podcast, please be sure to get on Facebook and jump in the group so that you can have a say in what we are, what podcast we're going to deliver to you every week.
Yeah, let's pick something less serious and a little more out there, please. If we can, we can help. Into the show, what do? We usually say, go to our website, SurrealTalkPodcast.com.
Vote in the poll, Team Eric.
Everett.
And then if you have anything to tell us about, like you don't like Everett, you can email us at info@SurrealTalkPodcast.com.
That's never going to happen. We've never in the history. Okay, we have got, back in the beginning of the podcast, they were mostly shitting on me. These days, they've been shitting on you a
lot. Yeah, they've been shitting on me a lot.
But the polls even, last I checked, 103, 103, I think.
Almost 700 members in a group, closer to 650. Close to 500 subs on YouTube.
So, yeah,
we're doing better on YouTube. 500 subs. Almost 493, whatever.
Oh, one other thing. We talked about Patreon last week. We did actually launch Patreon. This is a horrible show to start asking you to go to our Patreon and become a supporter.
Yeah, you just shut up right now, because if you listen to this show as a first timer, you don't want to go to our
Patreon.
You know
what? Yeah, I'll bring up Patreon next week.
Right.
In case you get real interested in what I'm talking about, Patreon.com/surrealtalk. You can find out about it there. Otherwise, we're not worthy today to talk about that. So, finite. We'll catch you guys next week.
Finite.
I will announce the what show we're doing on the group and on the Facebook page tomorrow morning after I release this podcast. And we'll go from there.
All righty.
Catch you all next week.
Yeah.
Please. Wake up.
This has been Surreal Talk, a lineupmedia.fm production. Listen online at surrealtalkpodcast.com and subscribe on iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher, and all major podcast outlets.
How come I know so much? What the hell is going on around here? Who are you people?
Join the conversation on Facebook and Twitter and get all of our podcasts now at lineupmedia.fm.
This podcast was a presentation of LightUpMedia.fm.